Now that we're all good and awake and focused and the blood is flowing into our brain cells, we'll have a word of prayer. I'm actually going to ask Brother Smithy if he wouldn't mind leading that prayer. He can just stand up from where he is.
Father, our God in heaven, as we have the opportunity to get to approach your exalted this morning, we praise you for the beautiful morning.
I have to look up the actual title of this lesson because for some reason, some of these titles that are handed to me as topics, they don't make sense maybe in my brain enough to stay in there, but I understand what's being asked, if that makes sense. And I know, and a long time ago, I had to take this this personality and IQ test to work where I work when I was in college. And apparently I did something weird because they put me in front of a psychologist, the one that doesn't prescribe the medicine, right? Or put you in the jacket, that guy. And he just point blank told me, your vocabulary skills are terrible. I said, well, everyone knows what I'm trying to say where I'm from, you know. So with that being said, I've realized that people use words perhaps differently than I do, right? And that's why he probably said my vocabulary was terrible. So I wouldn't have said terrible. I would have said bad, right? Simple. But terrible is more educated, maybe. I don't know. But back to me looking up the title of the class. It is Increasing Our Efforts in Focus, pulled from the book of Haggai, chapters 1 and 2, which incidentally is the whole book of Haggai. There's only two chapters in Haggai. We will read that, and you will be able to put a little leaf up on the wall today because we have all read the book of Haggai together. Haggai is towards the back of the Old Testament, the end of it. I think it's the third from the end, if I remember correctly. Okay. Haggai is considered a minor prophet. Can anyone tell me why he's considered a minor prophet instead of a major prophet? It's just short. Yeah. Yeah. The amount of content in it, short, short and sweet. I don't know what the criteria is, how many chapters and verses and words or whatever you have to be considered a major prophet, but if you look at the major prophets, they wrote a lot more than the minor prophets. So does that mean that his information is less important than the major prophets? Absolutely not. Everything in this book is equally as important as the other, okay, except for maybe the scheme of redemption now. If that wasn't, you know, mitigated and we were focused more on the Mosaical law, we would be lost, right? We were like, no, Mosaical law is where it's at. This is just kind of a sidebar note, this, right? No, it wouldn't work that way. So I would argue that the scheme of redemption, Christ's life, would be perhaps more important than something else. But that's just my opinion and it's not fact. All right. Some background here actually doesn't start in Haggai. It starts in Ezra chapter 1. And I brought this board out because it took me a lot of time to figure out where Haggai fits into the timeline, okay, of the going into captivity, the exile, all that stuff for the Jewish people. And the reason it was such a hard thing for me is because perhaps when I read the book of Ezra originally, I thought that Ezra was telling us of something that happened right away, right there, then and there. But in the first, like, I don't know, 5 to 6 chapters of Ezra, he's actually recapping what has already happened. I was thinking that the people left with Ezra into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the wall and everything else. And Ezra also has a sneaky chapter in there that I had to do a lot of studying on, and there's conflicting theories behind them. Both of them can be made sense of, and it's because in chapter 4 of Ezra, you have this king mentioned, and his name is Artaxerxes. Well, historically, the Artaxerxes that we know about secularly didn't reign until like 430-something B.C., but the first 1 through 5 chapters of Ezra were actually in like 520 B.C., so you're talking a big gap, and you're like, what is going on, right? And so, as Brian has mentioned, I know at least once, there is some titles like Caesar, Xerxes, Artaxerxes. Those are all kind of titles too. And that's one theory. The other theory is that Ezra, when he was writing the book of Ezra, whatever we want to call it, in chapter 4, he actually like just does a sidebar. 1 through 5 is chronological, and then you can jump down to verse 25, and that's the continuance of chronological order. But everything in between is just like a, hey, by the way, y'all remember when this happened? You know? Because Ezra is actually living kind of in the time of Artaxerxes, okay? Both theories you can make sense of, but I don't know. I don't know. In my brain, my common sense logic brain, what makes sense to me is that this was a title, kind of like Caesar is a title, and that's why it was creating so much confusion in my brain, because this wasn't his actual name. Okay, does that make sense to y'all? But feel free to do your own study. It's dizzying. You'll spend a lot of time and then realize, does this really matter? If it's the Artaxerxes of, you know, if it's a sidebar, if it's a title, doesn't matter. What really matters is that it happened, that somebody said, you're going to stop building now, right? It's going to stop, period. Somebody did it, and he was a king, okay? All right, so this is basically, we have the captivity of Babylon over on this side, okay? On this side of the timetable that I'm making here. Okay? Right here, we have Ezra 1:1. Okay? And someone read Ezra 1:1 for me.
Now in the first year, Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he also put in writing, saying,
keep going through 4. That would be great.
Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdom of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the free will offerings, for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem.
Okay. It would help if I got in Ezra. I was sitting there looking crazy me. By the way, Ezra's after the 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 3 Kings, or not 3 Kings, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Yeah. There we go. Chronicles, all that. Thank you. So, who's king? Cyrus, right? From the text, Cyrus is king. King Cyrus, Okay? What year is this for King Cyrus? First year? First year ever reigning. That's incorrect. The second part is the first year of him reigning over the Jews, because he had to conquer Babylon as king of Persia. Okay? So there was some weird dating stuff there too that I was studying, all right? Because he had a date of this date range. Well, then it says the first year, and then everyone's saying the first year of the king of King Cyrus being of Persia, I mean, was in 529 or 539 BC. Okay? So 539. I don't have a good color. We'll just go with black. 539 BC. Okay? King Cyrus, first year of him being over the Jews because he just captured Babylon, and because the Jews were what? In captivity of who? Babylon. There it is. Okay? So we have that. Now, turn over to chapter 2, verse 2. Okay? In actuality, and by the way, these dates could be off by about 1 to 2 years, because there's conflicting historians out there, secular historians, that are trying to look at artifacts and things, and so some of them can't determine if this is 540 or 538 or 539, so I chose something in the middle, okay? So, as Lindsay always says to me, I'm always right. No one? No, that's not true at all. Okay, I'm not always right, and that's just a guesstimation, right there. 539 BC. Okay, chapter 2, verse 2. Please, anybody.
Those who came with Zerubbabel were Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, Baana.
Should have volunteered for Randy's passage. Those names are tough, but there's two names I need you to remember in there. The first one, which was what? Zerubbabel. And the second one, which is Jeshua, which is also at times translated as Joshua. Okay? So those two names. I need you to remember those two names. Okay. They left with, this is when they went into exile or into Jerusalem, right? So they left for Jerusalem. Left for Jerusalem. To do what? Build the house of God, right? Build the temple. To build temple. Okay. Very good. We have our beginning of the timeline. Jump over to chapter 3 of Ezra and go to verse 8. Go ahead and, yeah, let's just stop at verse 8, whoever wants to read that. All right, very good. So we have what? 2 years later, right? 2 years of them making it there. Okay, so there's our next point in time. Okay, which would be what? Here's another tricky one. I'm sorry? 37. Yeah, because we're in BC, so we're going down. All right, 537. We're not in AD going up. All right, this is when they start establishing the priesthood, right? That's the next thing we're talking about. Is that... Am I correct there? And the priest and Levite, catch it about. Yeah, they were establishing who the Levites could be. Okay, so established Levites. Why are they doing that?
Has to be in place before they can worship.
Boom. There we go. They established Levite. Who did it though? I guess I should say, right? This was Zerubbabel. Someone spell it for me.
Z-E-R.
A-B. There? No?
E-L.
Okay, Zerubbabel and Joshua did that stuff, okay? All right. So, skip to verse 10. Who wants to read verse 10 through 13?
When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they said, sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout. When they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the fathers' house, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the noise of the weeping of the people. The people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard at far off.
Okay. Hold your spot there. Jump over to Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. And I'm going to point this out to you because I know for a fact that I told the children wrong during our Bible Bowl studies when we were studying the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. I took this weeping, the old men weeping, the old people weeping when they saw the foundation as just like tears of joy. They were so overwhelmed. And I stand corrected. Okay, so let's turn over to Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. And it reads, this is God speaking, okay, through Haggai. It says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Talking about the Temple of Solomon. Magnificent. Some historians say that he would have spent close to $5 billion American dollars today on what he spent on the temple back in his day. Okay, $5 billion. Okay. We're building a new Shannon Medical Center over here by what used to be I guess it's still called the South Side. What was that? Community Hospital. Okay. And the electrical, it's probably about $2 million in labor or whatever else there is. So if you multiply that accordingly, that's probably like a $50, $60 million building. It's going to be magnificent. Okay. Well, that's nowhere close to $5 billion. Okay, that's one historian. He could be off. Let's say he's off by half. That's $2.5 billion. Okay, a lot of dough came and a lot of stuff from Solomon to build this temple. And then it says, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes a comparison as if it's nothing? Because they didn't have the resources to do what Solomon did. And so they're sad, they're crying, because this is nothing compared to what it used to be. But it was necessary to rebuild it. Okay? So, go back to Ezra. Okay, I wanted to just point that out. In chapter 4, we start seeing opposition showing up. Okay? Surrounding kings, governors, whatever you want to call them, are like, this is not good. If Jerusalem comes back, we remember them. They will cause us some trouble. Okay? So they're fighting it. They make a plea to King Cyrus. They make a plea to this Artaxerxes king eventually. And that Artaxerxes king caves. Okay? He caves. And he basically sends out, you're not allowed to do this anymore. Okay? And just for time's sake, we're not going to read all that. But that happens in about 530 B.C., okay? 530 B.C., about. Like I said, there's a... So we're going to put temple building stopped. Okay. Y'all still with me? Okay. Can you see the colors back there? Thank you. All right. And that's where, let's see, let's jump over to Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. James, this would be a great place for you to read if you don't mind. Ezra 5, 1. I see you turning some pages, so I know you were getting there.
Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping.
Okay, right there. That's good. All right. So guess what, guys? Now we have the book of Haggai. It was right there in those two verses. Okay? That's the book of Haggai. All right? So I saw multiple things about when this really occurred. Okay? Some said it was 18 years. Some said it was 16 years. All right? I'm running with the 18 because there are more 18s than 16s. Okay, so what do we? What is that? Anybody? 12. Is that right? No, that can't. It was 18 years. Sorry. From when they got in there, So it should be 10 years later. About so 519 to 520, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there is when they started to rebuild. Okay, sorry. It was from this point. Not from this, okay? Cool? So, this is Haggai's prophecy. And now we're going to read them, okay? So, let's turn over to Haggai. It's page 1061 in my Bible. And if you are a good note taker and want to jot these things down, I have a few like sections you could call in the book of Haggai. I'll give them to you now because I really don't want to run out of time. I show that I have 20 minutes left, but I can be long-winded at times. So section one is a call to rebuild, and that is found in chapters 1 through 15. Chapter 1, 1 through 15. A call to rebuild. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Section 2 is encouragement and future glory, which is chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And as we read this, you'll understand why these sections make sense, okay? But as you're jotting down, encouragement and future glory, chapter 2, 1 through 9. The third section is holiness, covers holiness. And it's chapter 2, 10 through 19. Chapter 2, 10 through 19, holiness. And then chapter 2, 20 through 23, which is the rest of the book, promises to Zerubbabel. Promises to Zerubbabel. Okay? So, just FYI, Ezra doesn't go to Jerusalem for like 78 years after this. Okay? And so, if you want to just know some fun thoughts, we call the book of Ezra, Ezra, because we know that Ezra wrote chapters 6 through the end of the book. We assume that through prophetic revelation, he wrote the first 5, but he could have jotted down other historical documents, copying them over, or maybe he was really old, okay, and he witnessed some of those events. But we do know for sure because he uses first person, he calls himself I, okay, me, in chapter 6 and beyond in Ezra. So we know that he for sure was the number one author of chapter 6 and beyond of Ezra. Okay. My personal opinion is that he was a prophet of God. He knew what he needed to write, and he wrote the whole thing. But he was not directly, his life was not directly in the first five chapters. My personal opinion, it's not worth much, but if you want it, you had it. Okay? Okay, so let's begin. Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, if you don't mind anybody. In fact, I'll start this one off because it's kind of lengthy, and I've picked on everybody else here already. In the second year of Darius, the king, ooh, we have a new king, right? Need to write him up there. We're in King Darius. Okay, King Darius. It's good to know, right? Good to know. By the way, that's in unison with Ezra as well. Just so you know. In the second year, I should put second year. This probably was truly his second year reigning, okay? Because he was still reigning Persia. Persia was still over the Jewish nation, okay? This was first year over Jews, okay? Okay. In the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, This time is not come the time that the Lord's house should be built. Basically saying, the people here are saying, it's not time yet to start building on the house of the Lord, the temple. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord of Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sickled houses, or I think some of them say paneled houses, right? And this house lies in waste. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. If so much and bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Okay? So in these first six verses, God is telling the people through Haggai that why are y'all living in nice homes in the house of God that y'all started, 18 years ago, hasn't been 16 years ago, whatever historically accurate is, why is it still laying in waste with just the foundation and maybe a little bit of the walls built? What is going on here? Okay? You wonder why you're not prospering. That's what he says. You wonder why you're not prospering. All that you work and you have no money in your pocket. You eat, but you're not filled. You drink, but you're not satisfied. They're not prospering. They're just living. Wonder why you're not prospering? What's the answer? What's the logical answer here?
They weren't serving God the way that they should have been serving God.
They're not serving God. This is a time specifically when they did what God said to do. Man, economic boost, family morale boost, moral fortitude boost. Everything is magnificent. Look at the book of Judges. Okay? Yes, sir.
Realize that there are a lot of people that have a whole lot more money, more physical things than we do, and yet they very much fit into that category because their whole life is about the money. It's not about worshiping, serving God, and being somebody who would actually please God. They're just as empty in this world today as they were then because of their priorities or lack thereof.
For sure. I told Mark. Oh, he left. Told Mark yesterday. No, it wasn't Mark. It was you. It was Jose. I told him yesterday. He said, man, y'all have done a lot. He came out to my house. And he said, y'all have done a lot since the last time I was out here talking about the corn maze. And I said, yeah, but it seems like everything I add just falls apart in a few years or falls over. The wind blows it over because for some reason in West Texas, there's no trees to help block the wind, right? So, I said, what did I say? What did I say to you? You remember? It was prophetic. It wasn't really. It was the more stuff you have, the more stuff breaks. That's what it is. Okay? Okay, you got a mound of money, you go spend on something, and then it starts to deteriorate immediately. Your car is not worth near as what it was when you paid for it, unless you got a classic car, right? That took 50 years to get back to where it once was, all right? It's just the way it is. The more stuff you have, the more stuff breaks, okay? All right, let's begin. So the focus can be wrong on getting that stuff rather than putting God first, okay? Verse 7 through 11, anybody, just not to rush you, but we only have like 10 minutes. And we got to get through the whole book. Thank you. So we see here that God directly is like, I'm not going to let you prosper. He just told them, I wasn't going to let you prosper until you figured it out. You haven't figured it out, so now I have to tell you directly, go build my house. Okay? Any parents in here hoped and prayed that their kids figured it out and on whatever task that is, and they just didn't, so finally you just, that's it. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do because you're messing this up. Right? Anybody else done that? Lindsay does it all the time. Not me. I'm patient beyond measure because it's so small. My patience, it's hard to measure. No, that's me. It's me in a nutshell. I try real hard to let the kids try to figure it out. But eventually they just won't. And that may be because I didn't teach them well, okay? But in this regard, God taught everybody perfectly, and they should have figured it out, okay? So, 12 through 15, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Jeshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Okay. So, good response or bad response? Probably amazing response. You said great. Okay? Really good response to the message. So that's really good. We need to be that kind of response when we're being chastised. Okay? Yes. One thing the Jews had at this time is they had the skeleton remnants of this temple that they never finished, that they walked by probably every day. Don't you know there were some kids in there that were born after the original foundation was starting to be built and everything else that were like, hey, what's that? Well, that's a temple we never finished for God. Okay? That's crazy. That's a temple we never finished for God because they're scared of that king over there. We almost fell into that trap in 2020. I'm scared of getting in trouble. I don't want to worship God on Sunday with everybody else. Yee. I said it. Okay? I said it. I'm scared to die. That's what it was. What's the reward if you die in Christ? It's not anything you're going to worry about here. That's for sure. The reward is rest, peace, glorifying God on what we would call daily, but it's actually one day. Okay? Y'all remember Josh? Josh, he worshiped here. Josh starts with a W. Weakland, thank you. He came out and worked with me on our slide out there at the corn maze 1 year, and I know I've got 6 minutes, and I promise we'll get through chapter 2 so you can put your leaf on the board. Okay? And we were working, and it was hot, and it was miserable, and I just started singing, because this is what I always sing, and I don't know why. Oh, land of rest for thee, because I am always working. The last month, I've been up at 5:30 working out with my friends, and I don't go to my house to go to bed till 9 p.m. because I'm working on the corn maze. Okay? But that's it. I'm here to work. God put me on this earth to work. He put the Adam and Eve on earth to do some work. Okay? In the perfect garden. I can work till I can. Okay? So, that's the song. And he's like, why are you singing that song? I was like, because I just want some rest one day. Okay? That's what it is. All right. Chapter 2. In the seventh month, in 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, oh, wait, did y'all see the first section that I told you about in that first chapter? Okay, a call to rebuild. Did y'all see that in there? Did it make sense? Good. All right. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, into the residue of the people, saying, see, if this was Chad writing it, I would have been like, go tell Zerubbabel and Joshua. I wouldn't say who they were from or what their title was, but that's part of, I think, my poor vocabulary and skills, is that I try not to use words more than I have to. Who is left among you that say the house is in her first glory, and who saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Basically, this is worthless compared to what it used to be. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. Which you can look at that in Joshua, right? First chapter, Joshua has like 4 or 5 of those. Fear, don't be of good courage, don't fear. Okay. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Right there is a prophecy of Christ coming. Okay? Right here, Haggai is saying, there is going to be peace come out of this temple. Where did Jesus go to start preaching? Start teaching. He was 13 years old, right? But he was in the temple. The peace came out of the temple. That temple is better than Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple may have looked better, but this is better. This one is better, what y'all are making here, okay? All right, so we have the encouragement, and we have the future glory, right? I just named, what was the future glory? Peace from? From who? Who's coming to bring peace? Jesus. All the nations, right? All the nations will come to have this peace. Not just the Jews. All the nations, okay? This is a prophecy, folks. This is a prophecy. Now, will it really happen that a bunch of silver and gold will go into that thing? Probably. There's going to be people, nations that fund it, okay? But that's not what he's talking about. I mean, he's telling the truth on both situations, okay? All right. So, here we go. Let's keep going. 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month, and in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in his skirt of his garment, and with his skirt does touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall that now be holy?" And the priests answered and said, "No." Then said Haggai, "If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall they now be unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." All right. Then answered Haggai and said, "So is this people, and so this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon the stone of the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. Then one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail to all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day I will bless you. Okay? So basically, we have a definition of holy versus unclean, right? Sacrificially. Okay? We determine that if something holy touches something that's unclean, the unclean thing does not become holy, right? That's what we read. But the reverse is not true. Is not true compared to that first. Okay. So if something unclean touches something that is holy, the holy thing becomes unclean. Okay. Holiness is not transferred, but uncleanness is transferred. Okay. Right? Following me? So these people were still living in sin. They were still unclean. They still didn't have the right focus. They were just being told what to do. Okay, so they started doing it. Their attitudes, their minds, their hearts, their daily life outside of building the temple was not correct. Therefore, they were unclean. Okay, so think about that as we sit in the pews today. Okay, well, I'm in the pew. I'm awesome. Okay, maybe not. I don't know. Let's think about it. Something to think about. Verse 20 through 23, and then we can put our leaf on the wall. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heavens and earth, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, son of, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet," or like a ring, you know, you place it on the wax, "for I have chosen thee, thus says the Lord of hosts." Okay? Zerubbabel was not king of the Israelites right now, was he? But if you turn over, we know that Jesus had a lineage, right, from David. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, real quick. Hello, Mayfields. How are you all today?
We're here.
I'm glad. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and you go over to verses 12 and 13, and it reads, "And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel." we just see how God promised Zerubbabel to be in the lineage of Christ. The peace that was coming to the temple that was being formed, that wasn't as glorified physically as Solomon's temple, but was going to be more glorified because this is where Jesus would actually be found. Okay? Thank you for your time. Appreciate the extra 3.5 minutes. Class is dismissed.